Hold on 1 second.
Some technical difficulties, but we're going to work through. Hello, everyone. Hello. This is Vanessa, and I want to thank you for joining us here at Take 411 for the latest information on everything regarding prisoners and related news. So today, on this beautiful October day, we will be discussing employment, but not just employment, specifically employment for prisoners during and after prison life. If you're curious on jobs, maybe you want to know more about policy or alternatives regarding prisoners and their employment before and after, or during and after prison, then you're in the right place. Stick around and let's get this conversation started.
Hello and welcome to Take 411, a podcast powered by Another Chance to Bridge the Gap. This is a place where you can find latest news, information in relation to prison and anything happening in the community. Buckle in.
All right. So hopefully everyone's doing great this morning. I do want to go around and introduce all of our guests today. As we all know, Vanessa, my name is Vanessa. I'm out here in the West Coast in Oakland specifically. And Tawanda, do you want to go next? Do you want to give a little shout out to everybody listening?
Hey, this is Tawanda. Super excited to be with you today, Vanessa. And I did invite a good friend of mine, Lissa, that would join in on the discussion today.
Great. Awesome. Lissa, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you at, and just any little info you'd like to give?
I'm Lissa, just happy to be here, and I'm calling from Texas.
All right, Texas. Cool. I'm from Laredo, Texas. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
No, I'm down here in Wichita where there's really nothing. I'm close to Henrietta and Bowie.
Yeah, I'm familiar with Wichita. All right, okay, Texas in the house. All right, cool. So thank you, ladies, for joining and bringing all your contributions to the conversation. So as mentioned earlier, we will be discussing employment, specifically employment for ex-convicts, people that served their time in prison, and just like everything employment, whether it's an opportunity or just jobs in prison and how they translate to the outside world. So let's get started. First of all, I kind of wanted to give like a little bit of background on what like a job is in prison, because people are still required to have a job while you're incarcerated. And it's supposed to be kind of this, like work in prison supposed to allow an inmate to acquire knowledge and skills and all these habits that they can, put to work whenever they're released from this institution. But that's like in an ideal world, right? Like whenever we write laws and whenever we write policies, even like in our own home, we set these rules and we're like, oh, okay. So if you misbehave, you're going to the corner, but whenever life hits you, like those perfect laws, those perfect rules, they always have, like something always happens and they don't translate in real life as well as they would whenever you wrote them down. So I do want to talk, now that we know what prison work is supposed to be, I do want to talk about what it actually is. And I'm sure everyone who is familiar with judicial system and with, if you guys have somebody incarcerated, I know you're familiar with the 13th Amendment. And for those of us who are listening or who just have no idea what the 13th Amendment is, I'm just going to read it straight out. I have it written down here. And it says, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime, whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist with the United States or any place to the jurisdiction. Congress shall have the power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. So what does this mean? It's It's a lot of kind of like old English, but if you break it down, it's basically just abolishing slavery, right? Except where the party is convicted. So it's, some people call it a loophole. Slavery was abolished by the 13th Amendment, except if somebody is going to be convicted of a crime. So have you ladies ever heard of this conversation? Have you guys ever discussed this amendment with any of the people like you work with, Tawanda, or anyone in your life, Lisa?
I really don't go off amendments. I'm not the right person to ask about that, because I feel like the system is just corrupted. The amendments, they made them and don't really care about them. Like, they don't follow them. They'll find a way to use it against you. So I don't know.
No, that's exactly what I think that translates to. You're 100% right. These amendments were made to, like, help us, right? Whenever they were written, kind of like the rules in your house, like I was saying, they're made to keep order and to be best benefit for everybody involved in the household, for everybody involved in the community. But they are being used against us. So in this amendment, it says we're abolishing slavery. But guess what? If you're convicted, you're going to be a slave. So I think, like, you're on the right track. Like, everybody's on the same page as far as, okay, so we have these laws and they're supposed to be perfect. But what a lot of people don't recognize is that they're not perfect, that they are being used against a majority of the population. Tawanda, have you ever had these types of conversations that come up with any of the people that you work with? I know you do a lot of outreach for prisoners and ex-felons.
Yeah, really kind of in reference to what Lisa was just saying, a lot of times we know what it says when we read it. However, using it and applying it seems to be always different. You know that something's always there until you actually need it. So, yeah, so we've had to learn to apply things different ways and be a little more aggressive. But, yeah, I've definitely had the conversation with people. And also I've had a lot of conversations with people who no longer believe in the different amendments or just rights and things that we're supposed to have, because when they've needed it, they haven't been able to use it. So when we first don't succeed, we got to just keep trying again.
Yeah, and I think that's the perfect segue into reform. So I know last time that we touched base, Tawanda, we were talking about the new bill that the California governor put in place. Excuse me. And what he did, Governor Gavin Newsom, was that he expunged all the records of the inmate firefighters that were dealing and that are still dealing with all the fires out here in the West Coast. And sometimes the prison system here in California sends out these trained firefighters, sends them out to Oregon and to Washington. So these men and these women, they have skills. These skills translate to the outside world. But because of these amendments that are supposed to be helping us, right, that no one's supposed to be enslaved, are being enslaved. So they don't have to be paid for this work. But what's good and what's encouraging is that although they're, I mean, I hate to, you know, repeat it, but although these prisoners are basically slaves getting paid cents on the dollar, like us concerned citizens and this nation can make a change. So last time I touched base with you, you did mention like, oh yeah, because of this bill, you know, California can be a sort of like a catalyst state for a bigger movement. And I really wanted to touch base on that because specifically this bill, AB 2147, has given the rights to a lot of prisoners that are going to be released and have work experience. And a lot of people aren't going to want to hire them, specifically civil servant jobs, right? They're like, oh, well, you went to prison. I'm not sure if you're the best qualified for this type of employment because we are serving other citizens. But now their records will be expunged. So they're going to start off on a clean slate. And people did that, you know, like people like us saying, yeah, these bills and these rules and these laws were supposed to benefit us. But for some reason, you're kind of manipulating them and you're using them against us or against the people we love. And I think that's, you know, pretty encouraging. I know sometimes we, whenever we talk about, you know, our loved ones that have served time or are serving time, it can get discouraging, but, you know, there's little glimpses of hope here and there. I also want to touch on other types of jobs, right? Because not everyone can be a firefighter in California whenever they're serving time. So have you guys heard of any specific type of, like, employment opportunity or any type of organization that specifically hires ex-felons?
Absolutely.
I kind of wanted to reach out. Okay, tell us, Wanda.
Yeah, I'm super excited. I can't release too much information right now, Vanessa. However, in the next coming weeks, we will, because another chance is working on building partnerships with a few different companies across the nation that want to be able to give jobs to returning citizens, those that, you know, may have a checkered background, that may not, you know, it may have a felony or something like that. We're working on some things in reference to the trucking industry, which is a $1 billion industry. There's a lot of opportunities for that with trucking. We're also working on some things when it comes to real estate and different types of industries, to where even if a person is not looking for a job, they may also be able to start their own business, which is something I've been working with a few people on. And also Lissa, you know, she didn't say a whole lot about herself, you know, in the introduction, because she's really a humble person like that. But, you know, for almost a year now, we've been working back and forth, talking about different ways to help people. She's very involved in her community, helping the homeless. She's done that for an extremely long time, you know, on her own dollar, you know, giving care packages, helping people, you know, that are homeless where she lives in Texas, you know, be able to do stuff. She's also been open and willing to help people that's been incarcerated and upon release. We've been brainstorming and talking about different ways and opportunities to help a returning citizen be able to find jobs, even family members that's helping their loved ones on the inside, because people need money. And Burger King and McDonald's is not going to make it, not for $5 an hour. I don't even know what minimum wage is. So, yes, we are excited, and we're looking forward to partnering with any company that's willing to help returning citizens or those that may have a felony on their record or a checkered past, as well as we are launching several new things that we're going to talk about in next month. And, I mean, we're super, super, super excited. And I also wanted to comment about, we were talking about California and the firefighters. It's kind of bittersweet, right? Because what someone said after our show last week, well, yeah, the governor wants to give these jobs to prisoners as firefighters because it's so dangerous and it's just going to be more casualties because people are going to die. You know, people can look at it either type of way, but, you know, whether you're in law enforcement, whether you're a paramedic driver, whether you're a firefighter, these are all essential jobs. They're all very important, and they can all be very dangerous. But honestly, anything we do in life can be dangerous. But also, it's a great job, it's a career, it's good benefits, and it's something to really help people. So I know we look at it sometimes with the glass being half full, or half empty, but it's really up to how we look at situations. But the bottom line is, ladies, we need opportunity for returning citizens, people that have backgrounds. They need to be able to make money, point blank, period.
Yeah, I'm so glad you pointed that out, because, yeah, it's opportunity. It's not so much us being focused on, okay, well, we need to get a job after we're released. Sure, anybody can, like you mentioned, go to a fast food place, go anywhere and get a minimum paying job. But that's not the only thing out there. If we know someone, or if we have a family member that has, you know, has just left prison, we need to let them know. They need to be aware that a job isn't the only type of opportunity out there. We also have, you know, great entrepreneurship opportunities. If someone wants to be their own boss, they definitely can. I know it's like a little bit more complex, but there's a lot of organizations, and it's a lot more freedom. So if you're one of the lucky few that you know, is able to get some information on entrepreneurship, I would encourage your family members to kind of reach out, or friends to reach out to anybody that is doing time now, and just talk to them about that. Hey, look, I heard about, if you're worried about whatever your conviction is, getting a job on the outside, maybe look on entrepreneurship. Look at the website for the Secretary of State, wherever you're living, and just, you know, file an LLC, and that's about $50. So you're like, okay, well, where am I going to get those $50? There's a lot of organizations out here that can help you. I don't have them any off the top of my head, but I do want to touch base on some people that have, or just some other entrepreneurs that have kind of started their own entrepreneurship to give you an idea of what are some opportunities out there. So, of course, you know, we have, like, the entertainment business. We know that, like, Gucci Mane recorded a lot of songs. Cassidy, there's, like, some Spanish artists, like reggaeton artists, Anuel. They recorded a lot of their music while they were serving their time, and then they came out. And, of course, some of them already had platforms, so they were able to, you know, get their wealth income, their income to grow. And that's great. But not everybody can have that opportunity, right? There are other ways, like we're doing a podcast right now. Sometimes, you know, if you have somebody who's aware of the podcast life, they can record you while you're in prison on your prison phone calls, and they can start a podcast with that. Specifically, I don't know if you guys have heard of the Fyre Festival. It's like it was this music festival last year. I don't know. Have you guys heard of it? Tawanda or Lisa?
I was on mute, so sorry. I have not heard of it.
No, you're fine. Okay. So there's this Fyre Festival, and they kind of conned a lot of – it was supposed to be this huge festival, had a lot of celebrities, you know, it was a lot of money. But the point is that one of the originators, he, like, basically scammed everyone. There was no festival. So he's in a Ohio State prison right now. But what he's doing is that he's starting a podcast based off of his prison phone calls. And again, you know, it really depends how you see it, because some of us might get discouraged and be like, okay, well, we don't have these connections and we don't know. But if you reach out, and if there is somebody that, you know, look at, you know, we have Lisa on the line who does a lot of, you know, like Tawanda said, is very involved in the community. There are people out here that are willing to help, maybe write a letter, ask your friend or a family member to kind of investigate, do a random web search and see if there's any type of organizations that can help out with that. So specifically this guy that started this festival, his name is Billy McFarland. He was sent to prison for scamming all these people. And now he's just getting his phone calls recorded, and he's profiting off of that. So all of that profit, you know, it's going to be for him. Even if he does donate it, he's going to get now that background and that history where he's going to be able to put that on his resume. So you can put that on your resume. If you have a loved one incarcerated, or if you yourself, you know, have served time, you can translate a lot of these jobs that you did on the inside. You can translate them to civilian jobs on the outside. So I know specifically in prison, they have all these types of, you know, quote-unquote jobs, food service jobs, facilities, education, commissary, recreation, laundry service. So LinkedIn does a lot of free type of webinars, and if you just do a web search on LinkedIn, they will, you know, revamp your resume. There's a lot of opportunities for people that want to have a paper resume, and they just don't know how to translate their work to this language that employers speak, you know, because sometimes if you just go to a job, you fill an application, cool. But like Tawana was saying, you can't live on $5 an hour, $10 an hour, whatever, the rest of your life. So maybe while you're in there, you work on that resume and you step up and you get that information and you get a little bit more freedom, right? So I do also want to talk about generational wealth, because that's something that we really don't speak about a lot. So I don't know if you guys have any experience with building your own generational wealth, maybe like when is the first time you really started getting these thoughts in your life about, okay, so my hourly job or my day-to-day isn't really going to get me to that money for my son and my grandson or my children and their grandkids, you know, because a lot of people think like, well, not a lot of people think like that. So I'm curious to hear if either of you ladies have ever had these types of conversations about not just your job and the finances that you have, but about building wealth beyond your death. Does that make sense?
Well, that,
okay.
This is Swanda. I definitely, that's a really great question. And I've been having that conversation with people recently. I want to kind of go into detail. I know it's time for a break, but when we come back, I'll definitely start and share with you because I was just talking to Liz about that. But I know we got to go to break or the Alexis is going to get us.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Alexis with Some News for Take 411. Mississippi prisons are in crisis. Between late last year and this year, more than 30 Mississippi prisoners have died due to gang violence, suicide, or illness, over 10 times the average of 3.4 prisoners' deaths per year between the years of 2014 and 18. Prisoners advocates blame budget cutting and mass incarceration policies that have left state prisons overcrowded, deteriorated, and understaffed. Advocates are hoping that they can get enough signatures and or notice to start releasing some of the less dangerous prisoners out so there can be more room and safety for all. Back to the show.
All right, and we're back. So, Tawan, I'm really curious what you and Lisa were discussing. So can you give us a little info on that?
Yeah, you're talking about generational wealth. So basically, like I said, we've been building. We have power meetings regularly because we had a show, I think it was last week, and I had asked the question because I had been in a seminar years ago and someone asked the same question. They said, let me ask you a question. Do you know who your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was? And that would be my question to you, Vanessa. Do you know who your great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was?
How many greats is that? Is it four? I just know three. So I know, like, my grandfather
It's a trick question. I've asked you about six times your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather.
No, I just know three greats. I'm sorry, four. So my grandfather, and then four great-grandfathers after that.
Well, the trick question, the trick to the question is this. Most people say no. And then we say that's because they didn't leave you anything. Because when you have someone who has left you something from generations and generations and generations, their plaque would be on that wall. Whether it's great-grandfather, great-grandmother, because women are still getting it done too. And we will say six generations later, that's my grandfather so-and-so or my grandmother so-and-so.
Yeah.
And they are the reason why today we have land, we have businesses, we have this and we have that. So the conversation we were having in the show is, what can we do today? Because we can't worry about yesterday if it didn't happen yesterday. We want to build a legacy, generational wealth for our families and for our people. And our people is those who we love, who we care about, regardless of where they are, okay? That's what the goal and purpose is. And it comes with education. It comes with understanding. Next month, we're offering a job workshop for employment, opportunities, trainings. And we're going to do one for business in probably January or February, depending on COVID and various cities and states. And what we're talking about in both segments is generational wealth, how to get it. You know, you can have one piece of land on 1 acre. Because of times like COVID, somebody's going to move. They're going to be selling it. The smart person's going to hold on to it. Even if you got to eat peanut butter and jelly for 6 months, hold on to anything you can. Real estate, land, starting a business. Today, something that's worth $1,000 could literally be worth six figures in 5 years from now if we hold on to it. We have to have the mindset, though. So we're going to talk about books to read to understand it, different practices from day to day, effective habits of highly effective people. we have to change our mindset, because that's why when COVID happened, you know, and over 30 million people were unemployed, now it's about 12.5 million people unemployed. Why? People are unemployed. People are going out of business. People are filing for bankruptcy, because most times we don't have enough money to last more than 1 month. If we get our last check today, guess what? We're getting evicted tomorrow because we don't have 6 months to live off of. We have to change our mindset. The entertainment industry is a multi-million plus industry because guess what? People rather spend more on $200 a month cable bills and having Hulu and Netflix and all this stuff, which I got it too, right? However, we rather do that than have life insurance, to have land, to have property, have things. But it's about our mindset. And that's what, listen, I've been building on. And just last night, and listen, you can elaborate on that, she was telling me about a mastermind group that she wants to start up. Like, hey, T, let's get some different women that we're building with, and let's start masterminding. Let's start holding each other accountable. Let's start setting different goals. Because guess what? Unfortunately, and I'm not going to take it off from her. I know she's shy. But this is the thing, Vanessa. A lot of times people only care about what? Self. People are apathetic. We want to build culture with our community. When I get information, I'm going to share with Lissa. When Lissa gets information, she's going to share with me. We're going to share with you. You're going to share with Alexis. And we want to help other people. We're not going to hold it in because guess what? We're stronger together. I'm not waiting for something to come from the White House, honey. I'm waiting for it to come from my house and your house and Alexis' house and Lissa's house and to our listeners' house. We are stronger together. So as we have knowledge, information, resources to help each other, let's do it. Let's do it. And that's what we're talking about. Lissa, can you just share a little bit last night with what you're telling me? We were back and forth about the importance of women working together, us sharing accountability, or whatever else you're comfortable with sharing, because I know that you're shy. But give us a little bit of that, if you don't mind.
What I was really saying is, you know how people are so quick to say, you know, like they really don't have female friends, or they really just don't bother with females. Like, we take the time to help everybody else, but we don't never really give back to the women. We don't never really make them feel as comfortable as we make, you know, I'm going to say the homeless, because, you know, those are my babies. Or we just don't put them up there like we should. And I feel like mentally, this is a mental thing, but two women together are stronger than 10 men. And I listen to women talk, and they are so powerful. Like, the brains on a woman is dangerous. And a lot of times we don't utilize it in the right way. We find stuff and we keep it to ourselves. And I really think that's – I don't know what to say about that, but I don't like that. It's because we all need to help each other, because there's a lot of things that I don't know that Tawanda knows, and she doesn't have a problem with helping me. You know, like, I just wish women would help women more like they help their men.
Wow, that's so powerful. Definitely a question. I'm so glad you said that and you brought that up. I definitely think we need to dedicate an entire session on those points you made. That's so powerful. Women definitely have been running the world since before time, but for some reason, it's the patriarchy that gets the credit. For some reason, it's mostly men. Well, it's all men that we have as presidents, but for some reason, the man is the head of the household. But you're right, Lisa, you're right. Like, whenever you do put women together, these myths and these rumors about, like, well, you can't have women together because they just fight. Well, you know, women together, they just end up, you know, whatever. Like, those are just myths that someone made us believe. And for some reason, we're perpetuating them. We're repeating them. I for sure want to, like, maybe focus on that topic, like, for an entire hour next time, because that's so important. And it's not just important for us individually, but it's important for our tribes, our circles. That's how we're going to come together and make opportunities better for our people. And that's, like, beyond gender, you know, so all of our people that we do have incarcerated, all of our people that are oppressed, our neighbors, our family, our friends. So one point that both the ladies brought up was education. We need to educate each other, and we also need to, you know, bring that education, share those tips with one another. Don't just kind of like, you know, I'm sure you guys have heard of like holding the secret to the sauce. Like, we can't just hold the secret to the sauce. There's so much room for everyone to succeed. There's only 1% of the population that owns the most wealth. Like, why is that? That makes no sense. 99% of the rest of the population is kind of like middle class. Maybe they're working minimum wage. Maybe they have a business, but it's definitely not over 100,000. But 1% own most of the thing, most of the wealth in this nation. And you're right, Tawanda. Like, that's the reason why I know at least my fourth great-grandfather, which is not as far as like 6 or 10 or whatever, but it's because he left his son a ranch, and then that son left his son a ranch. My grandfather has a ranch that, you know, we learned how to, my uncles learned how to, you know, butcher and how to clean different animals and how to cook. And a lot of them were butchers. So that's so important. We need to leave something. We need to educate ourselves to find these opportunities and then leave something for all of our generations. So since we're on the topic of jobs and employment opportunities, we did discuss, you know, different types of jobs. We did discuss maybe entrepreneurship, but, and obviously getting into general wealth, but I do also want to touch base on education, kind of how you guys, how you ladies talked about, you know, informing each other. There's also this sort of institutional education, right? College, university, a certification, whatever. Here specifically in San Francisco, in the college, in the City College of San Francisco, there's this new program that that's going to start January of next year. And in the college, they're starting, let me, I just want to make sure I get the information correct, starting a physical science degree, and it's for cannabis studies. So this is not just like, maybe you think like, oh, okay, so people are learning how to maybe, I don't know, sell weed or something. In California and in Arkansas now, and in many other places, many other states of this nation, we are legalizing marijuana. And a lot of the owners of these multi-million dollar, even billion dollar industry, a lot of the ownership belongs to white people and people who have, you know, that name of their great-great-great-great-grandfather somewhere in the history, because they were allotted wealth, because they were allotted opportunity. So we should really encourage these types of degrees and this type of education, because a lot of us know how to survive through negotiation, through making something out of nothing, but that translates to a degree. So specifically, like I was pointing out, in the City College of San Francisco, the Behavioral Sciences Department made an entire curriculum about cannabis studies. So you're, and this is a free college. You can go here for free. I think you just have to pay like $5 a semester for student activities or whatever. But if you live in the San Francisco area, you can go to this college for free. And they don't just focus on, you know, the monetary value of cannabis. They also talk about the degree gives you education on sociology, public health, criminal justice, political science theory, a bunch of other things. The degree is like a very complex, interesting degree. So there's plenty of opportunities that you already have within you. We just need to share the wealth. We just need to educate each other on it. And I mean, that's what we're talking about now. Do you ladies know of any other type of certifications or any other type of, you know, educational? Well, obviously, you're doing kind of like a little employment tour that's coming up. Do you know of any other type of, you know, tech certificates or anything like that, that maybe our people that are just returning back from prison can take advantage of? Or is this kind of like the first time that you've heard of something like this?
Well, this is Tawanda, and like I told you, when you told me about the program in San Francisco, that is incredibly amazing. And I don't know of any specifics in particular. However, couple things I want to say. Number one, like there is one school, Blackstone, which is a program a lot of people incarcerated take. You can become a paralegal, and it's like $59 to $79 a month. However, to prisoners, a lot of times they slash the price like $39 a month, and you can pay monthly. And sometimes when you get behind, they can also, be able to extend it and work with you. That's a very valuable program because there are people in prison that are jailhouse lawyers, that are certified paralegals, and there's even some that's already started working with law firms before you got home. And there's a few states where you can even become a licensed attorney with a convicted felony. So that's one avenue, you know. And also the second thing I wanted to say, we're going to be working to compile a list of different companies that's going to currently, there's a list that's out there. We're going to update the list of different companies that's giving prisoners jobs and different businesses that may be open to offering internships. We have not because we asked not, Vanessa. So what our team is going to be doing through another chance is contacting thousands of companies before the year end and say, hey, we're working with people in prison. We have people that's coming home. I see you have an intern program. Are you willing to offer one to returning citizens? You know, and these are some of the reasons why. And, you know, they may say yes, but here's the conditions, blah, blah, blah. We'll work and see how we can meet the needs. The last thing I want to say is there's different companies like Goodwill, for example. When I used to work with the Salvation Army years ago, and we worked a lot with Goodwill, they had a job coach program. And with the job coach, you had, like, the vocational specialist. They kind of broker the deals to help people find jobs. We're going to be creating a segment like that to go to companies and say, hey, I see that you don't hire convicted felons, but this is why you need to. And if we can train them here, would you X, Y, and Z? Kind of like a temp service works, we're going to broker those deal situations because guess what? We got to find jobs, and we have to find better jobs. And the last thing I wanted to say before I let you talk, we're also going to be looking at, in prison, there are people that are culinary artists, there are people that are chefs, people that have welding degrees, electrician, and so on and so forth. So guess what? If you are an electrician and you have all these certifications, or as soon as you get home, let's see how we can get you some funding so you can go ahead and get this, whatever this skill, talent, and certification, so you can get a job, a high-paying job, or become a partner in a business. Because one thing about the man or woman that's been in prison, especially when you sat down for some years, you had a lot of time to think. You have that level of ambition, you're excited, you're ready, and you're ready to go 8, 10, 12, 15 hours a day. Unfortunately, one thing I've noticed about people in prison versus just a regular person in the community is we as a people have gotten lazy, Vanessa. We've gotten very lazy. So I'll hire somebody from prison any day versus just a regular because their work ethic, their ambition, and their hunger, especially if you have a new business. Like let's say if someone is listening to our show today and you have a brand new business and you're looking to hire three or four people, but guess what? It's not a 9-to-5 job, a 9-to-5 business. You're going to put in some blood, sweat, and tears. Guess what? Find someone hungry, and they'll work harder than you. And that's what you can get with a returning citizen. A lot of them are hungry, and they will go 12, 15 hours a day to help you build because they get another chance. Emphasis on another chance.
Thank you so much for that. Yeah, that is so true. I mean, I've seen it with my own eyes, and a lot of the times it's the underserved that, do work harder because they are hungrier, because they need that opportunity, because there was no great-great-great-great-grandfather to leave them wealth, to leave them any type of thing. So it's definitely vital that we employ these people so that they can build that wealth for their family. Wow, that's just perfect. I do also want to talk about a comment that you made about, you know, how many of us, like Westerners, many Americans, we have gotten lazy. We have access to everything. So, of course, whenever a prisoner gets out, they want to be able to enjoy all the richness that this nation has given us, and they work a little bit harder. But there are sort of these cliches and these things that have been said about prisoners, and they kind of, you know, sometimes get discouraged. So I do want to point out that if you or someone that you know has served time, to maybe not default on these types of rumors that you've heard about pulling yourself up by the bootstraps, or about, well, just find work or just do this. Like, it's not that simple. Even that quote, pull yourself up by the bootstraps, it's that would be great in a perfect world. But that quote was made up like more of a satire type of note, and people use it by like kind of in a like it's law type of way. It's not law to pull yourself up by the bootstrap. That's not real. We need help. We need community. And yeah, we need to employ each other. We need to employ our brothers and sisters who are underprivileged, who have recently gotten released from prison, who, you know, do need the opportunity more. They are hungry, like Tawanda said. They will put in that extra effort. And I am very excited about this, all of these employment opportunities that you guys are working on. So we'll definitely keep everyone updated on those notes as they evolve. That way we can share the resources and even get contributions from whomever's out there that, like Tawanda said, if you guys need employees and you're having a high turnover, you know, maybe this program would be able to help the business and not have so much of a turnover. So I think we've covered everything that we've had to cover. I do want to go around like one more time and just do a little round table and make sure that everybody gives their closing notes. Lisa, do you have anything to kind of just leave us with? I know we touched base on a lot of things. I really appreciate you bringing your information and your thought to the conversation, but I just want to make sure that I didn't leave anything out. Do you have any notes on, any closing notes?
No, ma'am. Just thank you, ladies, for having me. I really enjoyed it. Powerful message today.
Thank you. Thank you. Tawanda, do you have any closing notes?
Of course, I'm never going to pass up an opportunity to talk.
Yes.
but really, I'm super excited about the topic for today, Vanessa, and I'm really excited about all of the different topics that, you know, you kind of shared a little with me of what you're going to convey each and every Wednesday on the show, because there's some things people just don't spend time talking about. You know, you talking about different opportunity, different advantages of what's happening out in California. Other states have to step up. You talk about employment opportunities, you know, what the rights are. I'm looking forward to talking about internationally what's happening with some prisoners. I think I sent you a link about something, so I'm looking forward to us putting that on the calendar. And we want to start talking. You know, we want to start talking, and at the same time, it has to be about action. So the last thing I'm going to say, and I'll turn it back over to you, is we have to remember, those of us listening, is stop waiting for something to come from the White House. It needs to come starting from your house. Your house. That's right. Y-O, your house. And it's up to us. It's up to us what we do. Think about the grandfather. You don't know that grandfather because they ain't leave you nothing, because mine ain't leave me nothing either. But guess what? Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that five generations from now, that our children, grandchildren, nieces and nephews can say, hey, Aunt Tawanda, Grandma Tawanda, you know, Grandma Vanessa, Grandma whatever, they're going to remember, because today we are the start of creating legacy, legacy opportunity. So that's what it's about. People need jobs, and everyone doesn't want a job. Some people want their own business. We want to start talking so we can create opportunities. And I got to say this, because you mentioned cannabis, right? You know, we've been working on some stuff with cannabis. We're looking forward to releasing it next month. But this is the thing about the cannabis business, right? I know several people that's been trying to get into cannabis business, and they're priced out because you damn near need $100,000 to get started. You know, we have other opportunities for people that want to be able to start businesses. And if people can work together and pool the resources, we can do it. This is not just a business for a certain level of people. This is a fair opportunity for anyone if you can be able to find money. Somebody has money, but guess what? They may not understand business. Find ways to work together cohesively, keep integrity and good business in the mix, and we can make multiple seven figures and feed our whole community. And I'm super excited about being a part of helping create those type of relationships, Lissa and Vanessa, so we can truly make a difference in the world. And our goal is to make a difference with all of our people, and that's those that's living and breathing on this earth, those that truly want to be a part of something good. And I'm super excited about that. I can go on and on all day about strengthening the families, teaching the people, advancing the kingdom, reaching the lost, and serving the community, which is the vision for what we do with Another Chance. Back to you, Vanessa.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you, thank you. That's exactly how we need to end the conversation today. So just to summarize, remember, we need to start that blueprint for that generational wealth. We need to start it now. And if you're overwhelmed by yourself, we need to reach across the table. We need to either, you know, talk to our family members, and if they're not, you know, exactly on board, then we need to talk to our friends and our peers and anybody who'll listen. We need to start that blueprint. And I really want to leave you guys on that note. I want to thank everybody once again, because we had such an amazing conversation. And tune in next week, because the conversations are just going to evolve and all of our action plans are going to come through. And you guys are seeing us in a very grassroots moment. So this is very exciting to kind of see the come up. This is a great time to see the come up. So come to join to watch that. And everybody, I hope you have a great day.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to Take 411. To stay connected with us, please subscribe in the link below to our website, add your email address, and get all types of updates and information about what happens in the world every single day. Until the next time, remember, together we can.